Although I do understand that it is a bit of character building, it builds a bit of personality and all that sort of stuff, it was turning me into a person that I didn't want to be. So I was using the gym as a like quite a bit of a big outlet. I remember saying this to one of the fucking screws that were giving me shit. So instead of fucking taking your frustrations out on me, why don't you fucking have a set of bollocks and go speak to the CO? Like, literally, every man wants to test himself and see what his capabilities are and his limitations. Regardless of what anybody says, whether that be in the military, whether you do fucking judo, whether you do BJJ, or you're a bodybuilder, every bloke wants to push themselves to their fucking limits and see where they can take themselves.
Guys, welcome back to another edition of the Combat Fuel Podcast. Today we are joined by 3-4 battery crap hat guy that's not done much. Ollie, he made me say that. Ollie from Heavy Duty Gym Wear. Brother, thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. Who are you?
So I'm Ollie and I'm into a bit of bodybuilding, gym, fitness. Used to be in the army. Not in the army anymore. I've done every shit job under the sun whilst building up a brand called Heavy Duty Gym Wear that's built for the hard working, that provides top quality heavy duty clothing for working class people.
Nice. Love it. And just a little bit on your introduction, you made me say that.
Yeah.
But I think what it also shows is a lot of integrity from you. You know, you're not coming on here to be like, oh, I've done this in the military. You're like,
I'm not coming on here to shoot my dick off.
Do that. It's, you know, he's also, I don't know if you can see this on the cameras, he's absolutely massive. So he might just pick me up and break me in half if I'm rude to him. But no. Ollie, where did life start for you?
So obviously in my mum's womb. Obviously in my mum's womb. I come out of the womb at Torbay Hospital in Brixham, which is a base down in Devon. Went to school at Brixham Community College, obviously primary school, all that sort of shit. Went to South Devon College for a year. Got kicked out of college for fighting and all that sort of stuff. And then I decided to join the military, which was, well, spent 2 years trying to get into the Royal Marines and all that sort of shit. And then obviously didn't get into the Marines and went for the army.
Love it. But so, and you mentioned your mum, was your dad present growing up as well?
Yeah. My mum.
Happy family?
Yeah, happy family. Mum and dad are still together. My old man's done fucking 20 plus years in the fire service. He's now semi-retired. Because obviously the UK's fucking shit and fucking rapes everybody's asses. So he's got to work like an absolute...
That's a whole new podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
However, I agree. But so where, if your family was pretty good, decent upbringing, but you were scrapping a lot, getting kicked out of college.
Yeah, I was just always like, even in school, like I had the ability to be obviously quite an intelligent individual with regards to like schooling and stuff like that. But as time went on throughout school, I just realised that a lot of it's just fucking bullshit and unnecessary. And I just didn't really, I've always been quite a hard individual to, I'd say, manage going through school and college and stuff like that. I'd like always get very bored and my attention span would always like fucking, I don't know how to explain it.
And or you can say like, school's very much, it's a memory lesson, isn't it? You know, during primary school, secondary school, to an extent college, it's just remember these things, how to do them. And you know, I'm so glad that I learned, I don't even know, I was going to say something intelligent then. Pi R squared.
Yeah,
cheers.
I don't even know what the fuck that shit is. But with school, it's like such a, like, it's just, what fucking does my head in with school? Sorry if I swear too much, but I fucking swear all the time, especially when I'm thinking about stuff. But with regards to school, like, you're giving everybody such a generic test, like it's like a one-size-fits-all, when really that's not the case. Really, you're like, you're suppressing people's individuality and their different abilities and capabilities with that. You're trying to fit everybody into the same box. And essentially, you're trying to produce a, like, society of just workers through school. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, and there's no discredit to people that want to go and
do work. That sort of stuff.
Go away, do a 9-to-5 job, go home and live their lives.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of like support for people. Like, as you know, I didn't get on too well at school either. Mm. It was just, I couldn't sit down. I couldn't concentrate. Didn't like it.
Yeah.
They'd probably call it ADHD now.
Yeah.
Or just being a little bit retarded.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't get on at school. No. You know, joining the army was the best thing I ever did.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, fast forward, and you mentioned about being a failed Royal Marine because you didn't quite get through.
Yeah.
What was the appeal to want to join the Marines at the start?
So obviously when I was like younger, I was born in obviously 1997, so I'm 28 at the minute, but born in 97. So at the time period where I just started secondary school, that's when Afghan was going on. My mum and dad would always have the fucking news on in the morning and all that sort of stuff. And I'd be coming downstairs to fucking go to school. And every morning it'd be on there, fucking Royal Marine this, Royal Marine that, Royal Marine killed here. And I felt like this, even at a young age, like 13, 14, like I felt this like fucking, it was quite a very like patriotic feeling. And obviously that yourself. And it was like, I need to go and do that. Like it was no like fucking thing. It's like, I need to go and do this. Or it was like for a bit of like fucking subliminal programming through fucking smashing Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Do you know what I mean? One of the two. But that was my appeal. And obviously I didn't get on very well at school. I seen the Royal Marine adverts on the telly, like 99% need not apply, all that sort of stuff. And it just attracted me. Obviously watched that fucking Commando on the Frontline documentary and all that sort of stuff. And I was like, that's what I'm going to do when I leave school. And I started telling people that that's what I was going to do when I left school. And I was like 14, 15, 16. I was fat as fuck, unfit as fuck. Every PE lesson, if we done fucking, what's that fucking thing? Track and fucking field and
field, yeah.
Track and field and fucking, what's the fucking one there you fucking run it, cross country?
Yeah.
Doing cross country, always at the back. Always the last bloke at the fucking back, hanging out. But I told everybody, and obviously going through school, I was like big into my rugby, so I was playing rugby a lot.
So you weren't that unfit if you're still able to play rugby?
Yeah, well, rugby's very start and stop, isn't it? So it's a different kind of endurance to actual road running, what I would say. But yeah, I played prop as well, which isn't the fittest position on the pitch. Do you know what I mean?
Being big and strong.
Yeah. Or being a fat mong. So I fucking obviously done the rugby side of stuff like that. And I remember one time we was at fucking rugby training, and for some reason our rugby coach went round and asked everybody what they want to do when they leave school, because we're in year 11, we're coming to leaving school. So I'm going to go join the Royal Marines. And everybody burst out laughing and fucking whatever. And I thought, fuck it, I can't do that. Everybody's telling me I can't do it. I like fucking proper beat myself down and thought, oh, fuck it, I'll go do something else. So then I decided to fucking apply for college, and I didn't know what to do, so I just picked adventure sports, which is like a proper...
Just something to do. Was this at a point where if you hadn't gone and got a job, you had to go and do further education?
Yeah, I was the first year of further education, so I had to go do further education. And obviously, school wasn't a massive appeal to me, but I'd always worked. So my family's like a family of grafters. My mum's a proper grafter, and I owe a lot of like respect to my mum. She's a fucking proper grafter. And I'd always worked from like 12. So always worked at like Turkish car washes, washing cars at the weekends, like through school, like through year 10, through year 9, 10 and 11. Like I had three jobs, fucking used to fucking graft like fuck. Obviously paid no tax, whatever, so I thought I was a fucking millionaire when I was a kid. Didn't pay any attention to my GCSEs, all that sort of shit. And obviously went off to do adventure sports at fucking South Devon College or whatever. Turned up, and like when I do things, I really buy into it. Like I'm a very all or nothing person.
Yeah.
And I'm a person of like extremes. Like I want to fucking take it as far as I can fucking go. So I really bought into this adventure sports course, and then fucking went on it, and it was just full of wankers. Like, it was full of wankers, like turning up, smoking fucking pot, didn't give a fuck, like just fucking knobs. But the thing was, it was like the age spectrum was really weird. It was like from like 17 to like 30. Do you know what I mean? Like it was a really weird dynamic. So I had like blokes on there that were like 25 and all that sort of shit. And I remember we went out fucking hill walking, and cunts would be turning up in a pair of jeans, and the course would get fucking cancelled, that they would have to go back to college because fucking cunts turning up in the wrong sort of kit and all that sort of shit. And obviously, because I was working, I had the money to go and buy the right appropriate gear and all that sort of stuff. So like that used to really piss me off. And I remember me and my mates went down to, you know, Boardmasters?
Yep.
Down in Newquay, me and my mates went down to this fucking Boardmasters Festival. And I remember for the whole fucking weekend, I was just getting ripped about doing adventure sports because all of my mates were doing the A-levels, then go off to uni.
Yeah.
So they're just like constantly fucking putting me down, like saying like, just fucking like giving me loads of shit. And it really fucking got to me. He really fucking pissed me off. And anyways, I remember going back to college and all that sort of stuff. And like literally was in college for like 2 days. This fucking lad started giving me a load of shit, hammering me on the bus all the way back from this fucking trip. Got off the bus. We're walking back into the classroom. And I thought, you know what? Fuck this. So I've tapped him on the shoulder. He's turned around. I just fucking chinned him. just fucking hammered him and then started pasting him up a bit. And the fucking course instructor's absolutely lost his head and ended up getting kicked out of college, kicked off the course. I was like, right, fuck it. I'm going to go do this marine shit.
I mean, but also, like, you know, obviously we don't condone like going through and filling people in for nothing. But when someone is at you, like, it's bullying though, right? And everyone has a breaking point, don't they?
Yeah, I hate to use the word bullying.
But it is, you know?
Yeah.
Like, proud men, we don't want to be, I've bullied. But like that literally what he was doing to you, going on and on and on.
Yeah.
And he turned around and fuck about and find out. And he found out.
And the thing is like, there's a difference between having banter with someone that you know and that's close to you. And they're allowed to push that boundary because they know where the boundary is.
The thing with banter is, it's the ability to turn around and we're giving each other shit. It's about, it's enough.
Yeah.
Okay, noted.
Yeah.
But it's when you go in and go, especially when you don't know someone, you're not pals with them.
Yeah.
Then it literally is. And you wonder why people turn around and they hit breaking point and they snap and bad stuff happens.
Yeah.
You know?
But, that's it.
Wow. So the Marine thing is upcoming now and you're like, right, I want to be a Marine.
Yeah, yeah. And like, there was nothing really for me back in Brixham, like back home. There's like not a lot of job opportunities with regards to like, unless you want to be a fucking fisherman, work down the fish market, work in a fucking cafe or work in a restaurant or a chip shop or sell ice cream.
Do you like fish?
Yeah.
Oh, you could have stayed there then.
Yeah. But fucking, yeah, if I didn't want to do any of that shit, there wasn't really much opportunity or much scope for any sort of work. So I was like, right, I'm going to go do this fucking marine thing. And I applied and I remember I was like 110 kilo. Fucking went down to the careers office, fucking, because they do all that BMI test and all that sort of shit. And the bloke's got me doing this fucking BMI test, and he's gone, "You're a fat cunt." He goes, "You're a fat cunt. There's no way we're putting you through this." He goes, "Come back in 3 months' time when you're fucking fit."
Yeah.
And so I went away, come back in like 3 months' time, and I was like fucking 80 kilo. So nice. I'd lost fucking loads of weight, hammered it, got really fit, like basically beasted myself.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what I was doing. I was just basically beasting myself endlessly. And I got to a sort of a sticking point with the beast, obviously beasting myself, where I was like, right, I've taken myself this far. I need to get a little bit of help. So obviously I was doing the rugby and all that sort of shit. And at this sort of stage, I was at like Colts level. And there was a guy at a local gym called John Ellery, who I owe quite a lot to. He installed quite a lot of like good values when it comes to training, fitness and all that sort of stuff. He was the gym manager of Winners 2000 and Paynton. And I got in touch with him and I was obviously working a lot and all that sort of stuff. And I was like, right, John, I want to do one PT session with you a week. And I want you to program like my fucking training, get me fit to join the Marines. And that's what he done. So he helped me get over all those sort of hurdles and sort of like, he was that one person that like fucking believed in me. And sometimes that's all you need. Do you know what I mean? To give you that push.
Was he a bit of a role model for you as well then?
Yeah, he was in a way. Yeah, I'd say he was, to be fair. He was a pretty good role model because, like, he'll probably even say himself that he's not the most genetically gifted person, but he's, like, what I'd call a, like, one percenter. And by like what I mean by one percenter is, like, he's the sort of person that will do every single thing, every little bit extra to be better. Do you know what I mean? Like, all the 1%. Pink salt on his meals, fucking creatine, EAAs, all that sort of shit, like to be that little bit better than he would be. Because a lot of blokes, like, you've probably seen them in the military and all that sort of stuff, they don't give a fuck about fizz. They'll rock up to a fucking PT session still pissed up or something.
Yeah.
Like, we've all done that.
Yeah.
But they're doing it every fucking session.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So, but what happened then? Because you didn't join the Marines.
Okay. Yeah. So, I spent 2 years going through the fucking, obviously, Royal Marine application process. And obviously, it's CAPITA that deal with the
can see where this is going now already.
the whole fucking thing in it. And they kept losing my documents and all that sort of stuff. So I kept having to send them, like, I'm not bashing religion here or anything, but I had a really like diehard fucking religious doctor's surgery. So they were quite anti-military, people joining the military. Yeah. So I don't want to maybe insinuate that doctor's surgery had anything to do with those documents going missing every time, but it seemed to be quite apparent that there was something going on, because I feel like it's a simple process to send some documents off.
You would think.
Yeah.
Capita aren't well versed in quickly getting applications done either.
Yeah. So anyways, I've ended up getting to the medical point of the application process, and they've given me, what, you know that fucking pipe that you blow in?
Yep.
And it's got the fucking slider?
Yep.
Anyways, I've fucking blown into this fucking pipe and I've only hit like fucking 200. So I'm fucking like, what the fuck?
He's heat like, flow test.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And he's like, do it again. Done it again. 250. Do it again. 250. Do it again. 250. He's like, right, what I want you to do is take this home with you for a month, record all your results and all that sort of stuff. So I've done that. I couldn't get past like 300 ever. Like, I don't know why, but just couldn't. Anyways, turned out that I had asthma as a kid and they fucking stopped. I had asthma, what, like 3 years old that was.
Yeah.
So they reckon that my lung capacity wouldn't have been able to handle the Norway training, the Arctic warfare side of things, if I got through there, because they said that exerting myself in arduous cold conditions would affect, like, my mates used to call me fucking mouse lungs, but because of it, do you know what I mean? And fucking, they'd said that it'd give me this fucking wheezy lung or some fucking bullshit if I was out there, which obviously, to later find out in the army, working in cold conditions had no effect on me at all. And yeah, that was the end of that process there.
But it evidently wasn't the end of your aspirations to join the military.
Oh no, yeah. Like, I knew, like, I wanted to join the military, and like, I remember fucking sat there thinking, like, if I didn't get into Marines, what my options were. So it was Marines, Army, and then I was looking at the French Foreign Legion. Yes. So those were my three options. So the day that I failed my medical, I applied for the Royal Marine, for the Army. I went on to the British Army website, just typed in commando, scene 29 commando, light gunner, boom, applied for that. And then fucking like 5 months later, I started basic training at Purbright.
And that evidently as well isn't where you ended up in 29 commando.
No.
So you've gone through training though. Yeah. How did you find training, like being away from home, like for the first time as a young lad?
Easy.
Loved it?
Yeah.
Enjoyed it? Enjoyed training?
Yeah. Like, growing up, my dad was really strict, like really strict.
Yeah.
Which I don't resent him for now, but at the time I really resented it for him, how strict he was. But looking back at it now, with regards to, I'm very similar to him with regards to his personality. We do clash quite a lot, but looking back at him and how like strict he was with me, he was probably thinking in his head, fucking hell, if he's going to be anything like I was in his 20s, he's going to be a handful. Yeah. So it was coming from like a real place of like love, but only time has sort of made me learn that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And at the time, I really resented him for how strict he was, so I just wanted to escape his like clutches.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I obviously ended up...
And training wasn't overly hard?
No, I found basic training really disappointing. Like, really disappointing. Like, don't get me wrong, because I'd worked so hard from like becoming a fat cunt to obviously a point where I was smashing all the pre-joining fitness tests for the Royal Marines.
Yeah.
I'd got myself like too fit for the army, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So like, I remember I've got on really well with this. He's still my best mate to this day. We went fucking through training and everything together. His name's Jack. He's still in, he's a sergeant. We fucking went through basic training and all that sort of shit together. And he was really fit as well. And like, we just used to fucking smash anything. And it got to the point where we'd get bored and we'd deliberately get in shit to get beasted more.
I don't think I've ever heard someone say, I got in shit to get beasted. Yeah, because
we used to find it quite funny. Yeah, we just used to get into a bit of trouble and get beasted more. But yeah, once I'd passed out, I was like really disappointed in myself. I stood on the parade square thinking to myself like, is that it?
That's it done. Oh.
Yeah. I was like, okay. That's a bit anticlimactical. Cause I had a load of lads back from my hometown that had joined like the Remy and stuff like that. And I remember being in Wetherspoons and like, because you're naive and you don't know, you look at them thinking, God, these guys must be fucking built different. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, this guy must be fucking hard as nails.
Yeah.
But really he's a fat dotter.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But yeah. And I was just like really disappointed in it, to be fair.
At what point, though, did it change from 2-9 Commando? Because you didn't end up there.
Yeah, so I've fucking obviously done my phase two at Larkhill in Wiltshire, which ended up being like fucking 20-something weeks because they get you doing loads of other fucking stupid shit there. But I basically got fucking groomed by my training team into going to 7. Because they were all airborne sky gods.
So for those that don't know, we've got the Parachute Regiment and we've got 7 RHA.
Yeah.
But it's not, okay, this is for the viewers.
Okay.
But what's the difference? Why aren't they just the 7th Parachute Regiment? What's the difference between the units?
So obviously, I now obviously know all of this shit because I went there, but at the time, I knew fuck all. I didn't even know what they were. I didn't even know what the fucking joining tests were.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But with regards to your question, so 7 para RHA are the attached arms for the parachute regiment. So obviously, like for, I don't know, for like the Duke of Lancs or whatever, you've got like 3rd RHA. They're like the combat support for an infantry unit if they require those sort of means. Yeah. Is that a good answer?
Yeah, I think so.
I'd like to think so. So basically, it's a fucking... It's basically... Oh, fuck it. It's basically like the... It's basically fucking... You're a para, but you're not a para.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because, like, you got the infantry unit, which is like your fucking spearhead, isn't it? Whereas, like, you got fucking 1 para, 2 para, 3 para. And obviously, they do their fucking P company whilst in their basic training.
Yeah.
Whereas with attached arms or all arms, you go to your regular unit, well, you do with 7, you go to your regular unit, operate and function within your unit, and then you get told when you're allowed to go on the P company course.
Yeah.
So if your fucking regiment's undermanned or whatever, there's probably no fucking chance you'll get on it and you'll just get beasted for being a crap.
Although our beloved government has stopped that. So 2 and 3 power an hour, I don't know if 7 RHA as well, but they're now no longer going to be an airborne unit.
I didn't know that.
Came out recently, they're taking their jumps away, keeping the pay, but they're not doing jumps. And I don't know how much I'm slated for this. So they're going to be HATs, helicopter assault troops.
Okay.
Tell us about the word HAT.
I thought it was horrendous attitude to soldiering.
So where does this HATS thing come from? And like, explain it again for those that don't know, that might be a civilian watcher not understand it. And
okay,
call it banter.
Yeah. So when you go to a specialist unit like 7, well, there's like a whole complete fucking tier system to the HATS because you got like SF at the top, which are like, you can't. They can't
touch them.
Yeah, you can't touch them. They're like unhattable.
I like that.
Yeah, they are unhattable. They're like fucking, yeah. And then you got like fucking Special Forces Support Group, don't you?
Yeah.
Which is obviously like, again, unhattable to the rest of the army, but can get hatted off by SF blokes.
Yeah.
And then under there, what you've got like your regular, well, you've got your Marines and your parachute regiment.
Yeah.
So they can hat everybody else off below them.
Yep.
And then you've got fucking like where 7 and like 2-9 and things like that think they are is under the Marines and the Paras. Yep. They can get hatted off by all of the above, but hat off everybody below. So it's like a whole complete hatting off system, isn't it?
And so would somebody watching it, like enjoys watching military based stuff, be like, isn't a hat something you wear?
Yeah. So it's like fucking.
I'm going to get slated for saying that, aren't
yeah,
I?
Just like a non coloured, a non, yeah, a non fancy colour beret, I suppose.
What's like a highlight of your, like, of your military career of getting to 7RHA? Any moment, what was like the epitome, the thing that you remember constantly? This, and it can be bad or good.
Leaving.
I like that, leaving. When you were there then, how was it? How was battalion life? So, you know, you've gone through, you hadn't quite made Marines, you were going to go 2-9, you ended up in 7RHA.
Yeah.
How was battalion life for a young lad? And you were what, about 20?
19. 19 now. Yeah, so I've rocked up, 19 years old, obviously real fucking wet behind the ears. And I remember fucking, remember, I stood outside the block waiting for the bonko to turn up and show me where my room was, all that sort of stuff. He was a bit late, probably about an hour late or something. So I'm stood there in this fucking suit with my ironing board, all this fucking shit. I've got my, I obviously always turn up suited and booted. Other guys turn up in tracksuit bottoms or whatever, but I decided to wear a suit and I had my fucking Brixham rugby club tie on, yeah, which obviously I'm very passionate yeah about. And I fucking bonko's turned up. He's looked at my tie and he's like, what the fuck is that shit you're wearing there? And he goes, why have you come dressed like a fucking, what's the fucking people called that fucking sell houses?
What's the agent?
Yeah. He's like, why have you come dressed as a fucking estate agent? And then he got me, he's like, go on then, get down on your belt buckle, start fucking banging them out. So I started banging out these press ups and he's taking me up to my room, showing me a room, put me in my room. He's like, right, I'll show you where you're going to be working. So he's took me up to my, up to the gun park in my fucking suit. And then anyways, the whole fucking unit's up there, fucking like the FSTs, because they were practicing for a gun salute in a few yeah months' time. Obviously in Colchester town, when it was the Queen's birthday, they'd do a royal gun salute. I think that still happens every yep year. So do a royal gun salute in Colchester fucking town. And they were practicing for that. And I've rocked up and the whole battery's there. And I remember that the FSTs, obviously the fire support teams, they were all like stood there watching. So fucking obviously I didn't know fucking anything. Do you know what I mean? Just rocked up and the bonko's just gone, right, there you go, go stand with those blokes there. Obviously put me in the middle of all these FSTs. And they're like, who the fuck are you? And like fucking asked me loads of questions. And then this one was like to me, I always remember this. He just goes, are you going to get your fucking cock out then or what? And I was stood there like, what the fuck? So I've just got my cock out. And then he's like, that's pretty decent size. And I was like, oh, thanks. And then fucking put it up. And then it was just such a fucking weird fucking.
Welcome to the military.
Yeah, welcome to
and the. And it's again, everything in the military has to be naked by default, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's just part and parcel.
Yeah, it is. And then, anyways, I've ended up joining in this fucking gun salute shit, just there in my suit. And they're all calling me the estate agent. And it was honestly, I just felt so. It was just real awkward.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I hated it. Absolutely hated it. But obviously everybody else finds it fucking hilarious. And I had another mate that I met later down the line called Butler, a really good bloke. And he ended up, he was paratrained and all that sort of stuff. And he was in 7. And anyways, he got fucking a bit of a beast in an initiation. He drove his own personal car up to the gun park on his first day. And one of these sergeants, I won't say the sergeant's name, just in case there's any sort of repercussions or anything like that, got him to jack back one of the guns. So when you, like, you put this big fucking jack in and you jack it back,
yeah,
and it's just to test that the gun functions correctly and all that sort of shit, and it doesn't judder. So you, that's making sure, like, the pressures and all that sort of shit within the gun are, like, okay. Whilst he was jacking back this gun in this fucking suit, sweating buckets, this sergeant was in the gun park car park in his own personal car, fucking doing donuts in this shitty little Corsa. So when I found that out, I thought, well, mine wasn't so bad. So yeah, so that was my first day at the unit.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. 19 years old, getting your cock out for the lads.
Yeah.
And it's, and again, there's no homophobic intent with it, is there?
It's oh just, no.
It's just a big part of it is character building.
Oh,
right?
Massively.
If you can get naked like in front of the lads and, you know, and sometimes things go too far, I do, but
yeah.
On the general, I think it's needed in the military, because if you can be comfortable being uncomfortable like that, you can be okay at war. And, that's like where the big part of the character, although it's a fine line, it's where it comes from. What did you think then? You've gone to bed your first day, you're an estate agent with your dick out.
To be honest, I didn't really, I'd obviously played rugby beforehand, so rugby culture is very...
It's basically the same thing.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. So I wasn't overly that fazed by it, to be completely honest. So yeah, it didn't really have like any sort of impact on me. I do know some lads that turned up and like phoned their mums up and cried to their mums and shit like that and over their first day and stuff like that. But yeah, that wasn't my case at all. It was just like, well, that's the first day done. See what the next day brings.
Nice. Nice. I had a tactical KFC at Solstice Services to Miss Fizz. We got told to arrive for midday, so I was like, I'm arriving at midday.
Yeah.
Lads have told me, oh, by the way, like some lads in the battalion.
Yeah.
We're getting beasted Monday morning. Like, what time are you coming? I'm like, well, I've been told midday, so gotta get there for midday. One of the other lads in training going up, and he's like, oh, it needs to be like, I'm gonna be there for like 9 now. Show I'm keen and ready. I'm like, bro, it's not a job we're gonna get kicked out for, we'll get sacked for turning up on time. I was like, and they literally, we rocked up and blokes were coming, and they've been absolutely, because they just moved into the accommodation, been absolutely franked out, and
fuck's sake.
The whole company got slammed, and I'm there like fresh off my KFC, loving it.
Yeah, chilling.
Yeah.
How long was your training and all that sort of stuff?
6 months.
Okay.
Can't actually remember how many weeks. I think it's 26 weeks.
Yeah.
At Catterick.
And is it just straight infantry training, just no soldier, trade?
Yeah. So although it's still broken down, I think, into phase one and two, there was no real, that I remember, distinction between phase one and two. It was basic soldier building up and up and up for longer and longer exercises.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was it. And then bit of driver training, got my Cat C at the end of it. And then it's right, go battalion.
Yeah.
Turn up at this place at this time. Like, okay, cool. Mm.
I purposely, deliberately failed at phase two Cat C because I didn't want to be a driver.
Yeah, yeah. I was lucky to not end up driving for my career.
Yeah.
But... yeah, it's. I learned quickly then. It was, oh, you at KC, do you want to do your D license? And I was like, bro, do not do. I'm like, what's a D? They're like, it's a minibus. And anytime you go anywhere, you'll be driving a minibus. I was like, so I just didn't turn up.
That reminds me of adventure training. So we had a minibus. And this, so I didn't even want to go on this adventure training. This is just after I got there. So I literally had my first day, obviously, what I just spoke about there. First week done. Second week, I got put on the armoured Wimmet course.
Yep.
So I went on to do a Wimmet course, all that sort of shit. Was on that for like 2 weeks. Then it got canned. I wasn't on our Wimmet course. And then I got put on adventure training up in Wales, doing like fucking hill walking and all that sort of shit. I didn't even want to go fucking on adventure training, but obviously I got voluntold to do it. And I was the only non-paratrained lad on it.
How did that work out for you?
It was shit. It's fucking shit. I just got beasted. And then anyways, I've turned up to go on fucking adventure training. And obviously there's a fucking minibus there. And all the fucking parallel train lads have got in the back. And I've gone to get in the back. He goes, where do you think you're going, big lad? He goes, what do you mean, bombardier? He's like, where do you think you're going? I was like, oh, to sit in the back. He goes, no, mate. He goes, you're driving this minibus. And I was like, I ain't got a license. And he's like, don't worry about that. Yeah. I won't say, obviously, the name of the bloke. And then anyways, fucking, I was like, obviously, you need, what's that fucking vehicle cert called again?
Oh, Fraser, what's it called?
Yeah.
Your little MT, your little military driving license.
I was like, I don't have that. He goes, don't worry about that. Anyways, I fucking started driving this thing and I'm like proper, like I'd not been driving very long. So I was proper shit house at driving, fucking grinding the thing. They're all on the back, fucking absolutely hammering me. Anyways, I was like having a fucking complete meltdown. Got like an hour and a half into the drive, stopped at the services and I was like proper sweating buckets, like proper in flat mode, like hating life. And I remember this lad, he'd passed P Company and all that sort of stuff. He's the same age as me at the time. He'd been in a bit longer. He was on the adventure train. His name was Sawyer. And he goes, look, mate, he goes, sit in the passenger seat. I'll drive the rest of the way. And I was like, what a fucking legend. And he's like, look, I've been in your position before. He's like, it's shit. He says, don't worry about it. Because they were like, they were starting to take it to a point where it was like too far.
Yeah.
And he was like, I've got all the certs, tickets, all that sort of stuff. If anything gets said, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I've been driving since camp kind of thing. Yeah. And then, he ended up driving the rest of the way. Fucking thing. He looked after me out like throughout the whole of the fucking time there, like took me under his wing, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I really do thank him for that kind of thing. He was one of the good, sort of good blokes.
Well, a bit
of
moral courage there. Yeah. Stand up for the new bloke. And
Because,
gone a bit far there.
Yeah. Like it showed that he had a set of balls because it's easy to get sucked into herd mentality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like to stand up for what you believe in can be seen as like a bit out there, isn't it?
Yeah. How was the adventure training though when you were there, you said you were the only non-paratrained guy.
Yeah, so I just got fucking beasted, really. Like, fucking, I'd be there just after a day of, like, hill walking, all that sort of shit, be sat in my room, and then I would have, like, this guy, this Scottish Landjack, being, like, obviously paratrained Scottish Landjack, who worked in the armoury. He'd be like, what do you think you're doing? I was like, oh, I'm done for the day, aren't I? He's like, no. He's like, get your phys kit on. You got to go do fucking 10K or like get hill sprints or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like proper beast of me. And I was like, I've just done, obviously at this point in my mind, I'm like, I've just spent 2 years getting myself fucking absolutely beasting myself.
Yeah.
To fucking get into the Marines.
Yeah.
I've just beasted myself to get into the Army. I've done 16 weeks of basic training, 20 something weeks of phase two. Now I've turned up to unit thinking, right, foot's going to come off the gas a little bit here.
Yeah.
And it's just gone even harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a big important part, isn't it? That when people, once you've passed training, that's the real start.
Yeah.
It's not really a test. It's a, and it's not an attendance course. It's still training, right?
Yeah.
But when you're done, then you get to battalion, you're like, oh shit, like this is, and in hindsight, you're like, that's where my career really started.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Foot never comes off the gas, does it?
Yeah. It's fucking next level. And I remember, so like I'd done that stint of adventure training and all that sort of stuff, and then at this sort of period of time, it's like October-y sort of time, fucking going November before Christmas, so we had a pre-para course going on when we come back off of Christmas leave in January. And now this is something that I couldn't ever get my head around. So like whenever we done battery PT or what you'd call it, company phys or whatever, all the non-para train would be at the front in their own fucking squad. And then obviously all the para train lads would be in the back.
Yeah.
All the non-para train lads wouldn't wear maroon t-shirts. They'd wear the fucking shit green ones with the fucking white fucking thing and all that shit. And obviously all the fucking para train lads would be wearing their battery tops. And then we got a new CO come in and said, no, we don't want that to be a thing. What we're going to do is we're going to put everybody in the maroon tops. So we've all started wearing these fucking maroon tops now, obviously still at the front of the squad. And I found it such a bizarre mentality from them. Like, we was getting absolutely fucking hammered for wearing these maroon tops like we've chose to wear them.
Yeah.
But it's come from higher up and like constantly get, it sounds really petty and pathetic talking about it now fucking afterwards and all that sort of stuff, but like we were getting absolutely peppered about these fucking maroon tops, but it wasn't our decision.
It's not like you went to do it,
so I was like, instead of taking your frustrations out on us, why don't you fucking go in, like, and I remember saying this to one of the fucking screws that were giving me shit. So instead of fucking taking your frustrations out on me, why don't you fucking have a set of bollocks and go speak to the CO about this?
Yeah.
It went down like a fucking lead balloon.
I bet it is.
Yeah. And then, anyways, obviously fucking, they kept like, so what I was trying to say there is like, they kept fucking like dangling this carrot of like this pre-para, you're going to go on pre-para, you all be on pre-para. But our gun battery was so undermanned, we couldn't really afford to let anybody go on pre-para, because obviously pre-para's, I think it's 4 weeks and then 6 weeks up the road.
Yeah.
I think so. It might change now, but yeah. And obviously it's held at Colchester and all that sort of shit. So they've been dangling this fucking carrot of, oh, you're going to go on pre-para, you're going to go on pre-para. Coming up to Christmas leave, gone on Christmas leave. Well, before fucking went on Christmas leave, the BSM comes down, got us all on parade, and he's like, right, this is on, these are the list of the lads who's on pre-para after Christmas. And then reading out the names, I was one of them. I was like fucking buzzing, right, I can get this fucking nipped, done, move on with my career, fucking progress, stop getting called a shit cunt every fucking day and fucking get on with it. And I fucking went on Christmas leave and I had a really shit Christmas leave because all I'd done was fucking train, went out running, hammered the running, hammered the fucking like gym sessions, all that sort of shit. Didn't have any fun. Was really strict on my diet, so I didn't put on too much weight. And then come back off of Christmas leave and they was like, right, you're not on pre-para, you're going to Kenya for a fucking exercise. And then at that moment, I was a bit like, I was fucking raging.
I bet.
Because I had all this pent-up rage of like fucking getting hammered every day by fucking, for being this fucking crap or whatever. All this fucking pent-up rage and all that sort of shit. And then fucking getting fucked around like that, it just like, it just pissed me off because I just thought to myself, what's the fucking point? Anyways, went out to Kenya and had a really shit time out in Kenya again. Because I was big into my weight training as well.
Yeah.
So what I used to do, so obviously we got a, on camp, there was in Colchester, there's like your regimental gym and then like a fucking, like, it was this big CrossFit gym. I think it was RHQ gym, of which like everybody can sort of fucking go in and all that sort of stuff. So I used to be big into the gym on an evening. So we'd always do HAT PT. So in the morning we'd do battery PT.
Yeah.
And then once we knock off for the day at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, we'd have HAT PT, which could be anything. It could be a circuit in the gym. It could be a fucking 10 mile tab. It could be fucking anything. We wouldn't have sports afternoon. We'd have HAT PT on a Wednesday. And after all that fizz, like my thing that I would like to do in my downtime was weight train, which was doing a bit of bodybuilding stuff. Yeah. And obviously a lot of the senior ranks within Seven at that time weren't really that educated on weight training or anything like that. I'm not too sure why, but they obviously didn't see a need for it or whatever. So that was for me going to do a bit of weight training on the evenings, a bit of an outlet for all this frustration. It kept me from using this built up frustration. And because like, I'm not one to usually bite my tongue on how I feel or something. I act quite,
you'll say it how it is.
Yeah, I ain't bothered, do you know what I mean? I'll be 100% real. And like, I was going through the week and I was like really struggling to bite my tongue and all this frustration was like building up. And I could feel it like bubbling in me, like turning me into a person that I wasn't. And like on an evenings, I'd be like chilling there in my room on a weekend because I live fucking miles away from camp. I wouldn't go home. And I'd have some fucking screw or fucking Lance Jack pissed up, come to my room with a set of boxing gloves, throwing me a set of boxing gloves and making one of me and my mates fucking fight each other in the hallway whilst they fucking sink bottles of fucking Buckfast and shit like that. Although that is part of character building and I did enjoy parts of that, that wasn't me and it wasn't who I was and it wasn't something that I wanted to be doing to my mates, that who I'm meant to be then going to be working with potentially on operation and things like that. And then I've got somebody that's meant to be my boss or my peer telling me to do those things within the block. I think that's quite a toxic trait. Although I do understand that it is a bit of character building. It builds a bit of personality and all that sort of stuff. It was turning me into a person that I didn't want to be. So I was using the gym as a like quite a bit of a big outlet. So after doing the HAT PT and all that sort of shit, I'd go for an hour and train in the regimental gym.
Yeah.
And there was a group of sergeants that used to go in around the same time as me. They always used to turn up half an hour later and they'd see me in there and they'd kick me out because I wasn't para trained. So they kept kicking me out. And then that happened all the way up until we went to Kenya. And then we went out to Kenya, obviously went out to the training exercise. Have you been to Kenya?
Yeah.
And do you know how on, I can't remember what the camp's called. They've got that metal hut, don't they? With all the old school weights in and that. Yeah. It's like a proper rust dungeon. I remember on an evening, everybody would be like fucking around, getting pissed up or doing whatever. I'd just be in there on my own weight training because that was my thing. Like, I fucking love weight training.
Therapy, isn't it, man?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to use the term therapy because obviously if you've got underlying issues, there's only so much the weights can...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's not going to go there and do it, but it's...
It helps.
In a very like easy contextualized way, yeah, that therapy, as in weights, it's so good for us. Yeah. And it makes us feel good though, right? Doesn't
yeah.
it? It's our bit. It's our thing we enjoy.
And even through school, when I was going through school, like on my lunch times and stuff, I'd be getting kicked out of my lessons and all that sort of stuff. I'd always go to the gym at school from like 12 to 16. I was always in the gym. I didn't have a fucking clue what I was doing. I looked absolutely shit, but I just loved the feeling that moving weights around gave me. And obviously, I never lost that throughout like my whole time throughout doing anything in the military. Like that was always what made me feel like me.
Yeah.
Like through phase one, I had all my creatine, my EAAs all in my personal locker.
Yeah.
Everybody would be like, "Wow, what's that you're using? What's that? What's Drugs. That? Yeah, yeah, literally. But it was like my protein, sorry.
Yeah.
But it was like my protein.
That's right, we weren't around then.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then fucking, yeah, obviously I had all that sort of shit in my personal locker. Went out to Kenya and like, I was there fucking training on an evening on my own at probably like 9, 10 o'clock at night, just because I knew I'd like get left alone. Because if they see me in there, they kick me out because they felt like weight training wasn't beneficial to pass in P company because you'd get muscle bound and all this sort of shit. But yeah, maybe you'd get muscle bound if you were fucking taking loads of anabolic steroids and fucking getting fucking massive, but you're not. Do you know what I mean? You're just moving weight.
And then when we look at the science now, like someone to go out on a tab who can squat their own body weight is far less likely to be injured and be able to carry themselves than someone that can squat half their body weight.
Like,
you need that strength to be able to do your job.
That's it. Like there's so many people that are now like still within the military that are big on like the weight training, like coach, you sponsor him, don't you? Coach Dean Hammond, is that?
Yeah.
He's like big on to all that sort of stuff. Like he helped coach some lad that I know called, fucking hell, I forgot his, fuck, that sounds fucking stupid now. my mind's gone fucking.
My mate that I can't name.
My mate that I can't name.
We'll call him Joe.
No. Ed Harbour, the ginger lad, is fucking, what's his name? Incredibly, I'm trying to remember his fucking Instagram handle. It's something like real fucking zesty. But anyways, he fucking trained him and he's an absolute beast at squatting. And he's like absolutely smashed all his officer training for the Navy recently and all that sort of shit, which is good. He's done a lot of like, of the photography stuff for heavy duty before he joined them at like
Wicked.
Navy. So he's had a complete like, changing direction. But yeah, back to going what I was saying, because I've gone down a bit of a fucking tangent there, really, haven't I? Going back to what I was saying with Kenya and all that sort of shit. Fucking, then like my sergeant major started to find me in the evenings fucking going to the gym.
Yeah.
And he started fucking kicking me out, doing the same thing that the sergeant's was. And
this
was
just because you're not power trained still.
Yeah. All completely because I'm fucking not paratrained, and that was like really starting to fucking piss me off. Anyways, come back from Kenya after having a bit of a shit time in Kenya, and I got into trouble with, like a couple of weeks after, I got into a bit of trouble with the police for reasons that I'm not going to go into, but got into trouble with the police, and I went from being a lad in the regiment that wasn't really fucking known to being known as something that's quite fucking you don't really want to be known for it, do you know what I mean? So I basically had this massive fucking bullseye fucking targeted on my back. So everything just got progressively fucking worse. Like I was getting called every fucking name under the sun on like hat PT, on PT. And like there's only sort of so much you can take. And obviously then they'd stripped away my outlet, which was going to the gym on an evening. Yeah. So obviously, I don't know about yourself, but when you're in camp, we used to have areas early morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
So our areas were at 0600. So I'd wake up at 0430 and go to the RHQ gym because that was open 24/7.
Yeah.
So that was how I got in my weight training and all that sort of stuff. So I started doing that before areas. And then if they asked where I was, I'd say, I've been out for a little bimble around the block or whatever, or fucking around camp. And yeah, started doing that. And I was like, right, cool. I've got my outlet back and all that sort of stuff. That helped me keep a lid on what was going on with all the trouble with the police and all that sort of stuff, because it was quite a lot to deal with being only young. Like, I was 20 at this point. So it's quite a lot to deal with being 20. I didn't really speak about it with anybody. So I had all this fucking shit going on in my head. Didn't have a phone, didn't have fuck all. So it's not like I could phone my thing back and all that sort of shit. So I was using the gym as an outlet, and I was doing that for a few months. And then another warrant officer come off of a posting called Fitzy, and he started training at the same time in the morning in this fucking RHQ gym. And he was loving it. He was loving it seeing me in there, and he was absolutely buzzing. And he was like, fist pump me, like...
That, like, a massive breath of fresh air from all the shit you've been giving to a guy now that's like, nice.
Yeah, like he fucking loved to see it. And he was like, that's fucking ace. Like, it was like proper fired up. And he was a really good bloke, to be fair to him, like really good individual. And he's like, he's a picture of what I thought the army should have been and could have been and was going to be. Do you know what I mean? The way that he conducted himself, the way that he acted. Because I always remember this one, we were doing some fucking helicopter. What do you call it when you run out the back of the fucking Chinook? What's the terminology for that?
I've been out of the army fucking years.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? I forgot all that terminology.
And we were like Royal Infantry.
Yeah, but we're fucking, basically, running out the back of a fucking Chinook, getting a big fucking circle, all that sort of shit. We were doing those drills, and basically all the hats went onto this fucking ice. We were doing it out of a fucking ISO container. Yeah. Real professional. But yeah, stacked up in an ISO container, come out. All the hats were going through it, and the FSTs, the paratrain gun bunnies were all stood there, like fucking watching us do it. And he's come walking over, and I've seen him walking over from a distance, like thingy. And we're all there fucking thingy. And they're absolutely beasting us, saying we're shit, we're this, we're that and the other. All our fucking webbing's all over the place. We're in shit state, like absolute thingy. And they're absolutely pelting us. And he comes over and he's watching it and he's watching it. And I could see him like getting more and more frustrated with how these fucking screws and fucking lance jacks were acting towards us.
Yeah.
And he just fucking blurts out, listen, you cunts. And he's fucking points his fucking, the fucking pointing stick at the fucking FSTs and all that sort of stuff. He goes, you're all taking the piss out of these lot, but that's a reflection on you. He goes, you lot are meant to be mentoring them. He goes, they're in shit state because you're in shit state. And then that's all he said and fucking walked off. Yeah. And that, just like, it was like a pin could drop. Do you know what I mean? And it was like, yeah, that was like a big prominent moment for me, like, of like, these guys that were teaching us were just pretty shit house, to be fair.
And it's, how did like battalion life change after that then?
So
I'm hoping you're going to say that they'd like, they're like, they're like the abuse towards you, like, stopped. Because again, there's a fine line between like character building, but it sounds now like your whole career so far has just
been getting hammered,
just getting
hammered
full send,
yeah,
all the time.
Yeah, it was full on, like like there's a lot of lads that like you couldn't relax in the block,
yeah,
in a place where you should be able to relax. You should have been able to relax, because you'd have someone kicking in your door or throwing a fucking, one of those fucking stim grenade things, your fucking strike.
Bangs,
yeah. Like throwing one of them in your room or something. Do you know what I mean? Or throwing it through your window when the crack was open, just shit like that. Or like propping a bucket of water up against your door. So when you open your door,
bomb. Yeah.
Boom. Although that stuff is funny.
Yeah.
It fucking.
When it's constant, it's just a bit too much.
When it's daily. Yeah. When it's daily, it's fucking drives you fucking mental. But with regards to changing too much, it only got worse, really, because obviously I got in trouble with the police. The guy, going back to what that Fitzy geezer, obviously he went up into the top corridor, was absolutely singing my praises and all that sort of shit for smashing out Fizz early morning and all this sort of stuff. And he was like, this guy, Cook, he's got loads of potential, like he's shown like some good signs. And he even through like phase one and phase two, I smashed it. Like I was always top third, placed second in my troop, or second best. I'm always second best. Do you know what I mean? Always second best, but placed fucking second best in my troop for phase two and all that sort of stuff. And then, like, I was keen. I loved it. That's all I wanted to do was be a soldier.
Yeah.
And it was just sort of ruining my experience, really, going there. But it's made me the person I am today. He's up there singing my fucking praises in this fucking office, and the sergeant major's just gone to him, nah, he can't be weight training. Get him out of there. Gone in the next day. I'm like, gone to fist bump. He's like, look, mate, it fucking breaks my heart to fucking say this to you, because you're not allowed to be training in here. He goes, it's way above me. He goes, there's nothing I can fucking do. He says, I've tried to fight your corner, but it's like fucking 5-on-1 up there. Yeah, it's fucking shit. And then anyways, obviously they took away that outlet, and then like everything started getting for me like a bit progressively worse. Like I then started going home at the weekends from camp and stuff like that, and I'd be getting pissed up back at home. Like I'd even just go out on the piss on my own. Like yeah. I wouldn't even need a group of mates. Yeah. I'd just be like looking for trouble and getting into fights and just being, again, going back to what I was saying earlier, it turned me into a person that I wasn't, and I didn't like being that person. It was pretty shit, but you live and you learn. And then again, I went on some adventure training down in fucking Newquay, and I filled in a paratrained lance jack, got in a lot of trouble for that. Do you remember in 2019 when, was it 2019 or 2018, when Spain was playing England in the World Cup semi-final?
Yeah.
So this happened a bit before I started the drinking and all that sort of stuff, but it was just after I got in trouble. I lost my room key on camp. This is another prominent point of what made me like sort of despise being there. I lost my key on camp somewhere, and there was a screw on my corridor who was in the FSTs.
Yeah.
Who obviously is supposedly meant to be a figure of, I don't know, senior
authority and leadership.
Yeah. Sea drills and all that fucking gay shit. But I've knocked on his door. Excuse me, Bomb Dear. I was like, I'm sorry to bother you. I've lost my room key. Can you help me? He goes, no, mate. Fuck off, basically, because he was watching the football in his room.
Yeah.
Shut the door in my face. And I'm like, right. Gone down into the fucking bottom corridor. Gone on orders. Got the Bonco's number. Phoned the Bonco. He's like, Bombardier Dixon here, bloody, bloody, blah. I'm like, all right, Bombardier Dixon, it's going to cook here. I'm really sorry to bother yourself, but I've lost my room key on camp. Is there anything you can do to help me? He goes, oh, no, mate. Phone Sergeant Page. Hung up. Anyway, phoned up this guy called Sergeant Page. I'm like, all right, Sergeant Page. I was like, fucking going to cook here. Really sorry to bother you. Like, being polite as anything. I've lost my room key. Is there anything you can do to help me? He goes, you've just jumped the chain of command, have you? I was like, no. Fucking Lance Bombardier has told me to call you. And he's like, right, call him back. He's meant to be the one dealing with this issue. Anyways, phoned him up. And fucking, I've gone, obviously said what, reiterated what he's just told me and all that sort of shit. And he goes, look, mate, he goes, I'm out watching the football. I'm not interested. Like, fuck off, basically. Hung up, phone. Gone back up to that Todd's door. Literally told him what I've just said, like, that's like literally just happened when I've called the Bonco's number. He's like, look, mate, it really ain't my problem. And then there was a group of lads, paratrain lads, that were winding me up saying they had my key and all that sort of shit. And I fucking just absolutely lost it. And I've just fucking grabbed the fucking sides of the door and just fucking booted the door. And it's just fucking all coming, all the brickwork, everything, just completely fucked. It just kicked the fuck out of it. And this bombardier's come out his corridor going absolutely fucking ballistic. Like, what the fuck do you think he's doing? And I've just absolutely erupted saying, look, none of you cunts are fucking helping me. Like, I've been asking for help for about fucking 4 or 5 hours. You're all taking the fucking piss. I was like, you're meant to be fucking in positions of fucking leadership and people that I'm aspiring to be. And I was like, I don't want to be like any of you cunts. Do you know what I mean? And I fucking kicked my door in, fucking erupted. And they'd come up with a story, the three of them, that I'd been out watching the football, lost my room key, coming off the piss, kicked my door in, and then I got billed like 730 quid, got put on loads of guard duties, got fucked like fuck. But there's so many more stories of shit like that happened.
And it's like all whilst this is going on, like, we won't touch on the why, but you know, there's some stuff going on with the police that wasn't true, but you still had to prove it. Like, from a mental health perspective, you know, you're getting like 24/7 shit at work.
Yeah.
And then you're dealing with like an accusation that obviously was cleared and, you know, something that didn't happen, but potentially could have been very serious.
Oh yeah, like that.
If you weren't
even that nothing happened from that situation, that changed the complete dynamic of my military career because it changed everybody's views and perspectives on me.
Yeah.
Like I used to have sergeants getting in my face and saying that you're going to go to prison and all this sort of shit. Just being, I don't understand why they done it. They've probably got their own shit going on that they've never dealt with.
And I think that's it, you know. Like I've been there myself, you know, you project like what's going on and to a lot of people in the military might don't be offended. If you're offended, maybe look at yourself.
Yeah. But
when we got shit going on and we don't want to deal with our own shit, we'll project our shit onto someone else.
Yeah.
And it sounds like this is like what you, like,
a lot
I'm
of
sure
the guys
it's not
are
your
doing.
Whole battalion, but it sounds like
the majority.
Majority of people you've worked with have been like that. And maybe that's, you know, rage baiting people here. Maybe it's because they're not parachute regiment, that they just feel unfulfilled in their life, or they've got some issues at home. Their wife's left them, cheating on them. The kids don't like them. Could be anything.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. They're like bitter in their own lives.
For the last, like, 40 minutes hearing a story of like pretty like serious failings from the military going on, you know, and I've got a lot of friends throughout the military from private soldiers that are joining like nowadays up to one three-star general. And I've never heard anything like it, mate.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's
fucking mad.
You know, lads need to be given a certain level of shit because it makes you a robust individual.
Yeah.
But then there's like, at this point, we're nearly 2 years into your service now. It's made me a little bit irate listening to like the failings of it. And because ultimately, I will say it always, people kill themselves over this shit.
Oh yeah, 100%.
People literally, and it's rife as well, right?
Yeah.
Had that crossed your mind at all? Or were you, again, it's a really horrible subject to touch on, but I think it's also wrong that you avoid it completely, but it's, how did you, I mean, you're still setting out of a successful business, but how was your mental health and how did you avoid like going down that potential rabbit hole?
Well, obviously for me, it was the weight training and then they took that away from me, which obviously had a fucking major impact, which then I then was looking at other, obviously means to fill that void because that was a void that needed to be filled. I used to go down to like a supplement shop in Colchester town. I don't know if it's still there, but it was an old school bodybuilding shop.
Was it?
At the top, where the subway is, I used to go in there and I used to speak to the guy in there, and that's what got me into the, like, that's where I first started getting into the bodybuilding scene, because I used to go down there and buy like the Flex magazines and stuff like that. And like, go in and buy his fucking supplements. I'd chat to him for fucking ages. And he just like, really like made me like feel fucking welcome. Which I'd not felt.
Yeah.
Obviously, which everybody wants to belong or feel like they're a part of something, don't they?
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people in the military look for.
Yeah.
Don't they? They want a sense of belonging, a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was only 4 years, but going through my sort of military career, so many people don't have that. And there's a video that I made on the artillery that I used to vent and project like all of these frustrations at the time when I was going through it, like towards the end of my career. I just wanted to say everything how it was. And it ended up doing like the fucking rounds at fucking Lark Hill of the top corridor and all that sort of shit. Cause it was seen as anti-recruitment.
Yeah.
There's a funny story about that. That's a completely different story in itself, but it could come to that later. But I put that sort of video out there and I've lost my train of thought there.
The video you made.
I made that, this video of just fucking saying it how it was. Oh no, I fucking lost where I was going to go with that.
That's right. Well, let's touch on something. So you didn't finish your time with 7 RHA, did you?
No, I ended up getting kicked out because I was a disgrace to the regiment. And I didn't deserve to wear the maroon machine. Apparently, that's what my BSM said to me at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And where did you go when you were?
I ended up getting sent to 3-4 battery because apparently at the time that was best suited for me, but it wasn't. But you could arguably look at it as a career fail, but fuck knows. It was the best fucking 2 years that I had, to be fair, when I got sent there. But yeah.
And did things change when you went to 3-4?
Oh, massively. Completely different place. And to be fair, that's a point that I didn't touch on earlier, is that fucking, when we was out in Kenya, we worked with the Duke of Lancs.
Yeah.
And we were playing enemy, and we was like working alongside the Duke of Lancs against the Gurkhas. And I was seeing how the Duke of Lancs operated. And now I think in terms of infantry, the Duke of Lancs are meant to be quite shithouse, aren't they?
They don't have a reputation
of being the best.
Of what some of the other battalions are.
Yeah. Respectfully saying, do you know what I mean? And I remember seeing how the Duke of Lancs conducted themselves, and every single one of them were on first name terms. They all looked out for each other. There was this, and me being this non-paratrained gunner, looking at that, thinking, fucking hell, that's what the army's actually meant to be like. That's where it's like other places. But like, there was this such a, like, I remember lads wanted to triple P out of 7, and the triple P's wouldn't even leave the desk because we were undermanned. They needed manpower. And like, the amount of careers that and opportunities and stuff like that, that's killed for people must be unreal. Like, failing the military failing these people, because to fit into normal society after being in the military for a lot of people is really difficult. And sometimes the only place that a lot of people feel suited or welcomed is the military, innit? Yeah. And like, coming into civilian life after the military, I found that quite difficult.
Which, yeah, I think a lot of us did. I certainly struggle with my transition back to civilian life. And it's, you know, the military as a whole, I think, is a great thing. And anyone thinking of joining should absolutely join.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It was the best thing I've ever done.
A huge testament to you and your mental resilience that you endured what you did.
Yeah.
And you still came out the other side, whereas you could have.
Oh, yeah. I could have done something silly quite easily. Because I remember that at a point we was on parade in 7 RHA, and I was getting absolutely hammered by everyone, like fucking absolutely pasted. Everybody was laughing, making jokes, bloody, bloody, blah. Anyways, we've all fell into parade and I was the last one walking over. And this paratrain full screw goes to me really quietly. He leans in and goes, mate, honestly, he goes, I don't know how you're handling this so well. He goes, because if that was me, I would have fucking topped myself. And I said to him, mate, it doesn't matter what anybody fucking says. I know what's true, so it doesn't matter. And that's the fucking, I think that's what made a lot of people feel quite, like, that's why I got beasted quite a lot, because I think a lot of people felt intimidated by me in the sense of how confident I am in my own self-beliefs and my own moral compass.
A big, 6-foot-something bloke that's not small, who goes gym, it can be intimidating, you know, but you're not.
No.
You love your sky going.
Yeah, I'm fucking sound. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, the military for me, going back to your question that you asked, did life change when I went to 3-4 battery? It changed massively, because 3-4 battery, again, hasn't got the greatest reputation of being like the best place to go in the artillery. It's a bit of like a, they used to call it a bit of an ASBO unit. So when I went there, that's why I said for the 2 years that I was there, I had a wicked time, because a lot of the lads that were there were also quite considerably rogue as well.
Yeah.
So it was like the gunners and the lance jacks basically called the shots because that's how fucking together we were. Because if they pissed us off, we just act cunts, because at the end of the day, the courses that are coming through Lark Hill that are doing the training and all that sort of stuff, obviously they need the guns to go bang. And if we're fucking around being cunts, the guns aren't going to go bang. So it was in their best interest to keep us happy.
Yeah.
So it was.
And it's, I think a lot of it comes down to leadership as well, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%.
And military is hard because it can't be all sunshine and rainbows all the time. But a lot of it comes to military. It's treat people the way you want to be treated. And if we go from a business point of view, I think it was Richard Branson that said it, it's like, treat your staff so well that they've got the ability to leave and go and do it themselves, giving them the knowledge, but treat them so well they don't want to. Mm. And the military can be the same, like, treat the lads so well that they want to do the work for you without you having to use anything like a punishment as a reason to why, or trying to have like, oh, we've got some enforced fun.
Yeah.
Make, like, lead and look after the lads, and they'll want to work for you. Yeah. I absolutely found out my service. Like, I wanted to work for my lance jack, John Rowland, and Monkey, my section commander. Like, I wanted to do stuff for them because they genuinely cared about who you were.
Yeah.
But also you fuck up, you're getting...
Yeah, like I had aspirations that I wanted to go do my J-Wick course,
yeah,
do Jungle Warfare, do fucking all that shit.
Yeah.
Like I've had like real ambitions to fucking really push myself as a soldier. Because like I said to you before the podcast started, I'm a person of extremes. Like yeah, when I'm all in on something, I'm yeah, fucking all in. I'm not like fucking around
and that's exactly what the military shit needs. People that are all in who want to give their life.
Yeah, that's it. Services. Like, yeah, like fucking... I'm all or nothing. And that's where, like, although, like, now, obviously, it sounds really, really gay. Or, if you want to edit that out, it sounds really shit. But fucking, like, the all those shit times that I went through have only helped me to make this better. Yes. Because even going through all of that shit that I went through in that period of time, like, I still went to the gym, I still wanted to lift weights. It made me yeah, find my, like, greater purpose than just Ollie the soldier.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's only, like, taking me sort of time and, like, learning to discover a greater purpose.
Absolutely. And let's just skip back slash forwards to what made you want to be out.
So with regards to like leaving, I got, when I was in Colchester, I got a shoulder injury. I dislocated my shoulder pretty badly. And obviously in that sort of environment, in a very male dominated, well, it was male dominated because there was no females there. Females weren't allowed to do P company at that time. You can't show any sort of sign of weakness at all, can you? So I've dislocated my shoulder, had to go to hospital, got it put back in, all that sort of stuff. Said to my troop sergeant about going on the sick. He's like, no, you're not going on the sick. You got a exercise in Salisbury coming up. So they put me on exercise with a fuck shoulder. I actually went on AET before, again, in Newquay, and that's where I battered some lad, but ended up getting fucking... I told him I didn't want to go on AET because I got a fuck shoulder. They was like, no, you're going on AET, going on exercise, doing all that sort of shit. Then obviously went to 3-4 battery, started playing rugby, done rugby, fucking dislocated my shoulder again due to the injury that I got in Colchester that I neglected, didn't do any physio, rehab, fuck all for it, just proceeded as normal. Dislocated it really bad, ripped a load of tendons, rotated cuff, all that sort of stuff, had an operation, and then I was on like the fucking biff for like fucking 8 months or whatever. And that's where I like spent 3 weeks at home and decided that this ain't the career path that...
Yeah.
I want to pursue anymore. Just because I had such a bitter, it sounds like...
No, understandably it's like, so.
Yeah, it's like bittersweet because all I ever wanted to be was a fucking soldier. And then it's like really anticlimactical. And going back to a part that you said earlier, like the military's become so fucking career driven. Like I thought I was joining a place where like... you make some of the best mates of your life. But because of ever, like, again, it's the, this is a whole completely different podcast in itself. But because the UK sold itself out to all these independent companies like Capita, fucking Sodexo, all sorts of shit, and like the wrong people are getting promoted, for one. And like it's become such a career driven job. People aren't doing it for the love of the game. Do you know what I mean? They're doing it for self-gain, feathering their own nests. They don't care about the bigger picture or their own moral compass. They're happy to throw the man to the left and the right of them under the bus so they can get up to the next rung. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of that I saw when I was in 3-4 battery and in Larkhill, and I just thought to myself, this ain't the army that I want to be a part of. This isn't the army that I want to represent. This isn't the way I conduct myself. And I just sort of washed my hands with it because obviously wherever I went to next, I was going to start at the bottom again. And at that point, I'd have been a 4-year gunner. I'd have been 23. And I say, not that there's anything wrong with this, but I'm just going to say this how it is. You see it quite a lot with lads that join at a young age from like 17 to 20. Like I call it the squaddy rut. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so this is a thing that I've come up with myself. It's like you get stuck in like what I call the squaddy rut. So from like a young age to about 23, you're a gunner or a junior fucking rank, fucking no stripe, no nothing. And they're the best. They're like your fucking millionaire years. Do you know what I mean? You're spunking all your money. You're going out on the piss, having fun, going on holidays, doing whatever. You then get to the end of that 4 or 5 year period and you're looking at like promoting. So you're a bit older, you're a bit wiser. You think, right, I'm going to start getting my life together and like get a missus, or by that sort of point, you have a bird or whatever. This is like obviously not applicable to everyone, but the vast majority, you get a bird, you fucking pick up your first stripe. You're with your bird for like 2 or 3 years. You then fucking pick up like full screw or whatever. This is like in the artillery. Pick up like full screw or whatever. And then you're like deep, 3 years deep, 4 years deep in your relationship. You're like, oh, you know what? It's going to be a fucking good idea. Why don't we get fucking married so we can get a married quarter and get a pad?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get a pad. Fucking next thing you know, you're at your 8 to 12 year point. And then you get stuck in what you call the squaddy rut, because you're that trapped within the system that the army's created, it makes you so scared to leave because you're institutionalized. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's more prominent in the army of today than it would have been in the army of like, say, the 90s or whatever, because there was more stuff going on for the general army. It was more exciting. You was away a lot more. But now you're just... And no disrespect to obviously anybody, because I've done nothing great with my military career at all, but it got to the point where I was fed up of playing soldier.
Yeah.
Like just fucking walking around shooting blank fucking rounds. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I get it's training, but there's only so much training that you can do before it gets repetitive.
That's what I think we said in another episode. We had one of the guys, which is there's no better recruitment tool for the military than a war, as horrendous as it is. And war is hell, but it works. And that's ultimately what a lot of lads join for, isn't it? Cause they want to experience that.
Yeah.
Being gone and done, you're like, actually, be careful what you wish for.
Oh.
But it's also, that's why people join the army. You know, you don't join the army because you want to bake cakes.
Yeah, that's it.
You join the army, you want to join like one of the most lethal fighting forces in the world, don't
you? Yeah, that's it.
That's why.
Every man, like literally, every man wants to test himself and see what his capabilities are and his limitations. Regardless of what anybody says, whether that be in the military, whether you do fucking judo, whether you do BJJ, whether you're a bodybuilder, every bloke wants to push themselves to their fucking limits and see where they can take themselves. All of us want to do it because we, as much as we try not to be, we are very ego-driven.
Yep.
Like, we want to prove to ourselves more than anything.
Absolutely.
That we are capable of achieving these great feats, whether that be in business or whatever. Like... And that's not a negative thing if you conduct yourself in the right way and manner about it.
So we're out in the military now.
Yeah.
Did you start heavy duty straight away, or was there another job that you started doing?
So with my last year of leaving the military, it was when COVID happened.
Yep.
So obviously everything like happened in what, February, March, whatever?
Yeah. 21st of March, because I owned a gym and it got shut down.
Oh, fuck's sake. Cunts.
Yeah.
Yeah, cunts.
I loved COVID though. Best time of my life. I give all my kit to all my gym members. I wrote them all programs to use the bits of kit they had. I think all bar a couple for various reasons. Most because jobs couldn't afford to keep. Yeah. Most kept the memberships going, did that. And I went in to pack orders for supplements and trained. And my life didn't change because I don't see anyone anyway because I'm a fucking loser.
But yeah, sounds like a good life.
I loved it, mate. Yeah. I loved it. Didn't have to see anyone.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, so obviously got locked down on camp. So I was like doing guard duty like fucking 2 days on, like 3 days off for fucking the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
And I was handed in my triple P in the start of that March. So the start of March, I handed in my triple P on like the 17th or whatever. Then obviously fucking COVID happened and all that sort of shit. And I wanted to go and do my close protection.
Yeah.
Courses and all that sort of stuff. So I put in to do all of that sort of stuff. The courses kept getting cancelled. Obviously, the artillery is great for qualifications, so I got none. Yeah. And then fucking, obviously, wanted to do my close protection. All the courses got cancelled. Everything's getting closer and closer, up to the point that I was leaving. And my brother-in-law was a foreman on a bit for a building company called Eclipse. And he was like, oh, why don't you come labour for me? Like, labour at our firm. And I was like... Oh, I've got nothing else to do, so why not? So I was getting paid like £9.50 and getting absolutely shagged in the ass, fucking with loads of work. Do you know what I mean? So I left going from somewhere where I felt like I had a tiny bit of purpose to feeling like I was just a mule. Okay. And obviously going from the army to like doing a labouring job was quite bizarre, because at this point I was 23, being told what to do by 20-year-old lads that have all they've done is a carpentry course at college. And that was quite a hard pill to swallow. And again, I was went a bit against the grain there and got into some trouble and fighting on building sites and stuff like that. But literally, I'd done that for about 6 weeks. And then I come up with the idea of doing heavy duty gym wear, which is the clothing brand. So that's where it started, on a building site, carrying a piece of timber when I was building a school. So, yeah. Nice. And I had 600 quid in the bank and I was like, right, I can't do this for the rest of my life. I need to put all this frustration, energy, my passion, just everything that has ever gone right or wrong in my life, and just put it into one thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I've done.
Love it, man.
Yeah.
Love it. That's brilliant. And it, I mean, look at the size of the brand now.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing quite well. But what's unique as well is you make your own clothing as well, don't you? You don't just like put a sticker on it and be like, yeah, it's mine. It's all, everything's
tailor-made. So everything
tailor-made by you.
Yeah, everything's tailor-made for the brand. So everything that we sell, so if you buy a heavy duty gym wear hoodie, this is a heavy duty gym wear hoodie, and it's not made for any other brand, because there's obviously a lot of brands that print on different sort of clothing, and to be able to do this at the sort of small scale that we're at, like I just run this with me and my partner Libby, to be able to do this at the small scale that we're at, I didn't know it was, because I'm actually like really fucking stupid but really fucking stubborn.
Yeah.
So I've just managed to make it work. What we're doing is actually quite difficult to do.
Do you know, a clothing brand is properly hard to do.
Yeah.
And to get it off the ground, because I think, again, and no disrespect to the veteran community, but like the two big ones is when lads get out, I want to do business. I want to sell clothing. I want to make alley clothing, and I want to make coffee. That's like the done thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And no disrespect to anyone. Everyone's free to do what they want. It just seems that like the percentage of companies you see is so much higher because the buy-in can be quite cheap to print some cool designs, and there's a lot of cool brands out there.
Yeah,
you know, it's, but to make a business that then lasts as long as it has. And when did you start? It was 2021 ish.
When was COVID?
2020 March the 21st, 2020.
So it would have been, I think, 2022.
So you're 4 and a bit years. Yeah.
About to go to 5 years.
So, you know, the percentage of companies that last that long.
Mm. I've seen so many come and go.
Isn't high, so, you know. And it's,
yeah.
And what I think is really unique, rather than focusing on being a military company trying to have like cool alley designs, you were like, you went completely off piece with it.
I went black sheep.
And it was, it's worked. You've done well. You found your niche, and there's some other really cool brands out there. Like one of the guys turned around, he's gone and done stuff for rugby. Mm. And it's really cool. It's cool to see you like you targeted like.
Oh, is that the bloke that was in the Royal Marines? The rugby one?
RB, I think it was Rough Reds, then SFSG.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah, like, I've seen that. It's fucking awesome stuff.
It's wicked to see people doing stuff. You start off by making hats out of
shirts.
Old rugby shirts.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome.
It's so cool. And like with yourself, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but like a big part of your demographic is hardcore bodybuilding community.
Yeah.
And it's like some massive names are wearing your stuff, and it's
quite crazy, really.
How does it feel though, seeing people like James Hollinghead wearing a heavy duty gym wear?
To be honest with you, I don't really know how to answer that question, because like I think the Ollie of like 2018 that was going into Colchester Supplement Shop would be fucking amazed.
Yeah.
But the Ollie of today is a bit like, it's weird. I don't know how to explain it. It's like, it is fucking awesome, don't get me wrong. But there's so much more to be done. Do you know what I mean?
I love that. I love it. It's very humble of you as well to say, because it's not a small company now, is it?
No.
It's not like you're selling like a couple of t-shirts a
no,
week.
No, we're selling over to like fucking New Zealand, Australia, got stuff going to America, Canada.
And when you have a drop, it's like, you'll do a drop and that's gone. And like the most frequent question I see you being asked is like, when's this back in stock? When's that back in stock?
Yeah.
Why can't I get that?
Yeah.
Which is a wicked problem to have though, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But because it's custom made clothing, it can't just be at the drop of a hat.
No. That's it.
We need stuff, get it here now.
Yeah. There's something I always say like a lot to myself is like, imagination and ideas and dropping products isn't the problem. It's having the money and capabilities to do it. That's the only thing that's holding us back.
Yeah.
Is like, because obviously it's a self-propelled company from obviously my own hard work, because I've only recently started doing it full time.
Yeah.
From August last year, because I got sacked from a job.
Why did you get sacked, Ollie?
I went from, this is the thing, is I told you, I'm a man of extremes. So I've gone from like hero to zero. I was getting employee of the month to then getting sacked. Do you know what I mean?
At this point, I don't expect anything else.
Yeah, there's no fucking in between. But they wanted to get rid of me because obviously I'm not a fucking idiot. And I knew I was getting the piss taken out of me. And I was saying it to the manager of our depot. I was doing traffic management, putting traffic cones out on the road and all that sort of stuff. And so I was working a 0-hour contract. And now there's 70 workers within the company. About 20 of them had full-time contracts. And now when you work over 44 hours for this company, you got paid overtime if you're on a full-time contract. And the other lads were on a 0-hour contract, but there was so much work in that the 0-hour contracts were doing 72-hour weeks. Wow. Yeah. And obviously I'm still running a brand. This is what I think, I've got some sort of fucking super ADHD.
Yeah.
So I'm fucking working 72 hours a week, still going to the gym and probably sleeping about 3 or 4 hours a night, doing that for like a whole fucking year. But yeah, the lads are on fucking full-time contracts, so they would get paid overtime and all that sort of stuff after 44 hours. And then the lads on the 0-hour contracts were getting shagged with fucking 72 hours. And I said to him, look, I want to cut my hours down to 3 days a week. And he goes, well, because I just wanted that bit of safety net. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And a bit of breathing space as well, though, right?
Yeah, because I'm trying to fucking balance everything. I'm trying to run a business, trying to go to the gym, trying to keep my missus happy. It's fucking crazy. But anyways, I said to him, look, I want to cut my hours down here. And he's like, look, if you do that, I'm going to make your career here at Highways very difficult. And I was like, he said that over the phone. I was like, what do you mean by that? He goes, well, you won't get the hours. I just won't give them to you. So I'm going to go from 72 to none. So I was like, right, whatever. So I started putting these unavailable for work forms in.
Yeah.
So I just wrote out loads of those for like every other weekend and like every Monday for like 6 months in advance.
Yeah.
And just put them all in a fucking tray. And he absolutely went mental about it and like rejected them all. So then I went to HR about it. I was like, look, I've gone through the right means and all this sort of stuff. And obviously that didn't go down very well, because then they contacted him and all that sort of stuff. So they were sort of like looking for a reason to get rid of me, because I was started like randomly, like for a good 3 or 4 or 5 weeks in a row, I kept getting my sites randomly audited. So they'd come out, make sure everything's to like the regulations. They give you an on-site drug test, all that sort of stuff. Obviously I'd done no drugs other than fucking anabolic steroids. That doesn't give me a kick, smoking a bit of weed or sniffing gear or whatever. That's not my fucking scene. But they were trying to get rid of me, and they were trying to find a reason to get rid of me. And I knew they were trying to get rid of me. So I was just making sure I'd done everything perfect.
Yeah.
And it was really fucking rattling him.
Yeah.
So we found this video from like fucking 6 weeks back, and I'd fucking swerved a bit harshly.
Yeah.
And when you swerve harshly or brake harshly, there's cameras in the van, so they monitor you all the time.
Yeah.
It sends alerts to the office, and it's like, harsh braking detected, harsh braking detected. And it fucking just made me lose the plot, so I fucking punched it. I punched it, and I fucking got called into his office, and he's gone to me, do you know what you're here for? I was like, not really, Jordan, to be honest with you. He goes, what do you think of this? And he turns his computer screen around, presses play, and it's me punching this camera. And I just fucking absolutely burst out laughing. And he goes, do you think that's funny, do you?
Yes.
I said, well, what do you expect me to say to that? There's no argument. Do you know what I mean? I'm there red-handed punching this camera.
And integrity as well.
Yeah,
there.
Well, I'm not bothered. If I've fucked up, I'll say, look, yeah, I've fucked yeah. up. If I've been a cunt, I'll be like, look, I've been a cunt there. I'm like, that's not me, the fucking thingy. If I've been a fucking dick, I'll admit, yeah, I've been a dick there. But yeah, I was like, what do you expect me to say? I've just, it's there, it's black and white. I can't argue that. And then basically that's the reason why they got rid of me. But he sat there for weeks, through like 5-6 weeks of van footage to find that one clip to get rid of me. That's how much they wanted to get rid of me. But it's the best thing he's ever done because it's made the brand just go from strength to strength.
Yeah. And he must be sat there now screwing that he's there in a job that he's probably not happy in.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't you support someone?
Yeah.
I never understand that mentality. And like, I got the point of view that like, just because you clap for someone else, it doesn't dull your flame.
No, not at all. A big person that has like a good inspirational figure that I've always looked at is Jamie Alderton. He goes, just because you fish in the river doesn't mean there's like fucking less fish.
Yeah.
That's one of his things.
Yeah.
I used to like watch his inspirational stuff quite a lot. I used to listen to his podcast when I was like working in fucking, before I joined the army, that used to get me fired up and all that sort of stuff. But yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I don't know why you wouldn't want to support somebody, because it's only going to make the world that we live in a better place. Yeah,
and good karma though, right? If he'd supported you, you know, he might be getting some free clothing now.
Yeah.
And like, and also it's just, like I said, it just makes the world a better place.
It's nice to be nice.
We don't turn around to like Fraser who's recording this or Dan or any of our media guys and be like, you can't do anything else. You work for anyone else. No way. Like, they tell me they want to go work and do some work. Oh, I've got stuff for another supplement brand. Yeah. Crack on. You go earn the money.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, so I guess very much like yourself. So with us being independent brands, with the commercial side, and I've worked in commercial environments after I've left the army, and honestly, I couldn't think of anything worse. I didn't fit in.
I couldn't do it.
It's fucking crazy. And like working in a commercial environment, I don't think that brings the best out of people, because, and again, it's going back to like what we said in at the start of the podcast with regards to schooling and stuff like that, because you're boxing off people's creativity and personalities, and that's what makes things great, is freedom of expression.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're say with regards to your media guy or whoever's doing your stuff, if you're like, right, I want this, and like this, you're not allowed to pick any music. You're not allowed to do anything. Yes. You've got to do this. Like, he's not going to get the best work because he's not going to be able to create what's in your mind.
Absolutely.
Because he's not you. So you've got to give people that ability to be able
and
to just...
And it's a big thing, though, like, when it's your brand, like, allowing that trust. But you got... People can't do it if you don't give them the chance.
Yeah.
You know, you've like, got... everyone that works for us, we're like, this is, like, a scope of what I'd like. Like, give us more guidance. You can do it yourself.
Yeah.
Like, Leah works for us doing, like, whatever shit. This is, like, what you need to know.
Yeah.
Go away and do it.
Yeah.
How?
Figure out.
Have the creativity.
Yeah.
To do it yourself. And they, like, I like to think anyway, maybe I'm wrong. Mm. Touch wood. Everyone that works for us, like 7 of us now, like enjoys working for us. Fraser, do you like working for us?
Fucking prison.
It's a prison.
I used to say the army's like a prison with more luxuries.
But it's, yeah, no, literally, yeah. Yeah. Some lads that work in... worked in prisons, it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like, it is exactly the same.
Yeah.
Just, we're allowed to leave.
Yeah. They get home.
Sometimes.
But really, over a career, they're doing the same sort of time as the prisoners.
Let's just get onto a bit of advice before we finish, Ollie. If someone's in your footsteps now, and let's take your time at 7RHA, if someone's following your footsteps, what's the piece of advice for them? On the spot here.
Yeah, advice. The thing is people can tell you how to do something, how to live your life, say these things about you. They can say whatever the fuck. People are always going to talk fucking shit. But if you know who you are, and you don't need to question who you are, and you've got integrity, your own morals and all that sort of stuff, it doesn't fucking matter what anybody's got to say, because I think if you've got a good sort of base of morals, integrity, and who you are as a person, you're polite, you're well-mannered, you say please, you say thank you, you hold doors open for people, you want to see people fucking do well and all that sort of stuff. No matter what anybody says to you, negative, or tries to hold you back or hold, like, fucking boxes you in, you can achieve whatever you want to achieve and whatever you want to put your mind to, because those key qualities will take you further than any sort of fucking qualification, I think, could ever take you, because fucking, I've managed to build a brand off of that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I've got no qualifications. I didn't even know how to fucking run a business. Didn't even know, like, I'm just using myself as an example. I'm not like sucking my own dick here or anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not me, but like, what I'm trying to say is if I can do it, any fucking cunt can, because I'm not fucking special.
Love that, man. And any misconceptions that you'd like to address?
So, with regards
from
to
anything from service, from people that know you or might have this perception of you, or from Ollie, the heavy duty gym wear brand owner.
At the end of the day, people are going to think what they want to think. I'm not here to change anyone's mind.
I like that. Yeah. It's incredibly humble as well. It really is, man. Like, just being sat there like, yeah, I don't actually care. And I think that's when you get true freedom as well, isn't it? When you stop caring what anyone else thinks.
Yeah.
Like, so people are always going to talk. A couple hundred years, people aren't even going to know what our names are unless
exactly.
we achieve something like extraordinary. It's, yeah.
Exactly that.
Cool. Cheers. So I want to enjoy my life for me and do what I want to do when I want to do it. And hopefully people buy the stuff that we make because
they love it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Wicked, man. Ollie wrote, thank you for your service. Thank you for joining us.
Honestly, that thank you for your service bit makes me feel sick.
I know you do. And people say, but we don't say enough. Like, at the end of the day, you still agreed to sign on the dotted line and you didn't know what was going to happen. So it's still, thank you for your service, brother.
Yeah, no worries.
Thank you for joining us on our podcast, man.
I've loved being here.
It's been good.
That's a real strong grip.
Jiu-jitsu.